Our Lord is still in the temple courtyard, and this is the last, as you just heard. No one dared ask him any more questions. Now, he will take the initiative to ask one himself about the Son of David, and then he'll start to offer his critique of the leaders. But this, then, is the last of this series we've had about resurrection. Son of David is tomorrow. You know, these questions that they ask him is the last one. And so it's the last instruction of Jesus in answer to questions in Mark's Gospel. And it is this one about loving. Now, well, what does that mean, to love the Lord our God? See, in a way, first it means obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That first means obedience. That's implied, actually, in the Hebrew word ahav, which is the word here for love, that implies a loyalty, a clinging, a loyalty to God, and to keep the commandments. But there's more. There is a spiritual affection for God, which is mutual, because God has that for us. And when we have obeyed the Lord, he has used that to bring us to the place where he can now show us more of himself and win our heart over. And that's to love the Lord with all your heart. Now, the way it's worded here, it comes from the Greek translation. This is, you know the text goes in Hebrew, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is just an expansion of that. So it begins by obedience, to obey with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. But it moves on to mean, ultimately, that our whole being clings to the Lord in a deep spiritual affection. We love the Lord. Really love. Now, it's not sentiment. Sentiment can be there sometimes. But it's a spiritual affection. If you look at the lives of the saints, you can see what that means, you see. We see also how automatically they love their neighbor. It's the same love. The theologians have usually a long treatise on this. It's the same love. This is what John says in the first letter, right? If anybody says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. You can't do that. And so the idea then is for the Holy Spirit to so continue to transform us and deepen our spiritual affection for God that it flows out to everybody. Of course, it starts, and there's an order in love, you know, with those who are close to us. I mean, I love everybody in Borneo. I never met anybody from Borneo. Do I love everybody in this chapel? It has to start somewhere. And it starts with those who are close to us, in the family, in the community. It begins there. But its perfection is in this love, this spiritual affection, which is genuine, not sentiment. Sometimes there may be no emotion, but spiritual affection doesn't need emotion. And it cares about the people we meet, about the people we see, about the people we read about in the paper. It's a care that grows and grows and grows. Until finally, you have people like St. Therese, who gives her whole life over to the merciful love of God, to be consumed by it for the sake of the whole human race. And she describes herself as being the heart of the church. The heart of the church. I've met people like this, and it's awesome. As I was just talking, John the 23rd came out to where I was a student in a little monastery out there in Rome, and to visit us. He was the first one to start doing things like this. And it was such a revolution, you know. Anyway, he came out, and he visited us. He might have said Mass. I guess he did. He just visited us. He gave us a little talk, and then we all went up to meet him one by one. We were about 60 people, I guess. And when I got there, and we all knelt down to greet him, you know, we didn't have a long conversation, you know, but I was convinced that that man loved me. And I thought, he never saw me before in his life. But this was a real love. And I thought to myself, you know, I'd work for this guy the rest of my life. I mean, there was just sort of a... And it's this, you know, he had a deep, mystical, spiritual affection for everybody. And it showed. I could still, as I was saying these words, I was thinking of old Giovanni Venditore and the mediation of that love, and it was genuine. It wasn't, well, I love everybody and I'm Pope, I have to be nice to anybody. No, he loved me. And I knew it. And I thought, isn't this amazing? And I never saw him before. Close up. The last man on the line was one of the old lay brothers, in Italiano, because the brothers came from all over. Italiano, I forgot where he was from. And he knelt down and they started to chat. These two old Italians. And no master of ceremonies and no cardinal could break up that conversation. You know, they just stayed there talking. It wasn't forever, but it was a lot longer than anybody else, you know. And the brother said, after he enjoyed the conversation, and it was really lovely. And Giovanni said to the Pope, the brother, pray for me. He said, I promise, Holy Father, I'll pray for you. Pray for me. And the Pope said, every day on one bead of my rosary, it'll be for you. And I thought, you see how humanity can get so sanctified that it's so real and it's so affectionate and it's so humble and it's so person-centered. See, that's what this text is talking about. That is the total transformation of a human being. That's why it's the last of these arguments. Because that's it. And by the power of this Eucharist, we are enabled. We touch the body and blood of Jesus Christ, who loved us this, that way when he died. Well, how could he do that? Well, you're going to have to ask him. But there's no doubt about it. He knew every one of us and loved us with an affection as he died. And he still does love us that way. When we come to talk to Jesus, you know, we don't have to get an appointment and go through the secretary. You could turn your heart now. And that's the perfection. The scribe answered that, and Jesus liked him and said, you know, you're not far from the kingdom. Just continue. So that you begin to believe in who I really am. We have to pray for that. You know, there is so much ignorance and so much self in us that has to go. We have to die to that. But can you imagine, even if everybody in this chapel arrived at the point that John the 23rd was at, this whole neighborhood would be different. Just by the way we meet people in the grocery store, just by the vibes we give off, just by the whole neighborhood, the whole Montgomery, whatever this is, village, would be different. They've got to see Christ in us.